Where better to learn about anatomy than a museum dedicated to the wonders of the human body? Serendipitously, that's exactly where I find myself on a bright October morning, when even the stone spires of Edinburgh seem to wink in the cool autumn sun. I'm early to meet a friend in the city with its grisly history of body snatchers and ghosts, and as I pass the imposing archway of the Royal College of Surgeons, an inscription on its threshold presents an invitation too tempting to ignore. Hic sanitas, say the letters etched on the pavement. Here is health. 10 years ago, I visited the Surgeons' Hall Museums with my children, oohing and aahing over the rows of things in jars, as the gallery's brochure puts it, and at the spotlit dioramas of tail-coated doctors hunched over mannequins with gory papier-mâché wounds. Since then, I've trained and practiced as a midwife, working in labour suites, community clinics, triage units, and anti- and postnatal wards. In doing so, my fascination with anatomy has surpassed my daughter's fleeting interest in the subject and taken on a distinctly obstetric slant. The female reproductive system is my passion, as well as my professional milieu, the way it functions and malfunctions, the way it brings forth life or causes death, the way it yields joy and pain in equal measure. Today, the idea for this book about the most miraculous and misunderstood organ in the human body is in the earliest stage of gestation. A flicker of inspiration, a moment charged with possibility. Today, I'm here to see the wombs. I see the obstetrics and gynecology exhibit signposted towards the back of the second floor and hurry towards it. First, though, I have to navigate the many organs deemed by the curator to be shinier and sexier to the visitor. Like a supermarket with all of its sweetest treats racked up front and center, the museum opens with a sizable showcase of military medicine. Bits of blasted skulls and amputated limbs illustrate the many ways in which men have hurt and healed each other on the battlefield. This apparently is glorious. I hustle through the aisles. It's not that I'm not impressed, but I'm after something a bit different today. Bits of the weaker and fairer sex. Organs that have seen the havoc wrought by birth and the vagaries of the female life cycle. I move on through livers and bowels, a perforated appendix, a heart with a stab wound swishing across its grey, bloated chambers. There are stripped veins and a foot in the vascular surgery room, dull, staring eyes in ophthalmology, misshapen jaws in the oral and maxillofacial display. Dawdling briefly in urology, I count 20 testes and numerous penises in various stages of sickness and health. I look again at my map to make sure I haven't missed my destination. Nope, keep going. Back and back into the depths of the museum. Passing an impressive array of aneurysms by the rear staircase, I turn a corner and then there it is. Obstetrics and gynecology, the smallest section in the museum with just 4 shelves of specimens. I try not to be disappointed. I stop and study each jar in turn, giving every organ the respect it deserves, wondering at the women whose bodies were flayed and fragmented in the name of science. There are 13 uteruses, fewer than the testes around the corner, I note, some bloated with fibroids and cancers, and one with the slim, white snake of a contraceptive coil still nestled in its flesh. A disembodied vulva still bears a tuft of startlingly bright ginger hair. A signal flare from the past, its meaning lost. There are no names, no personal details given apart from the briefest of diagnoses printed on cards. These organs, the seats of human life, are unsettlingly inert. The accompanying descriptions do not indicate which of these wombs have borne children, although, given the fact that most of the specimens were harvested a good 100 years ago, before the advent of reliable contraception, there's every chance that almost all of them did.